Amen. That was excellent. All the music this morning was good. I believe it's honoring to God and blessing to my heart. I'm sure yours as well. You have your Bibles open to Exodus chapter number 3. We read you one verse. That's not the only verse we're going to go over this morning, but that was good to Brother Michael. Let him get by with just reading the one. But we see here as we pick up the middle of Moses' life. The Bible says, and Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. So you pick up here in Moses' life. I think probably most of us, who in here is familiar, at least you're a little bit familiar with this character Moses. You know who it is. You know who we're talking about when we say Moses. I see most of the hands up. It's okay to respond in church. You can raise your hand, say amen. Moses, very familiar. If you're not familiar, we talk about the crossing of the Red Sea. That was Moses. You probably heard that story, maybe just through channels or whatever, maybe going to Sunday school when you were young. If you haven't spent much time in church, if you spend any time at all, you probably heard of some stories of Moses, the Ten Commandments. That's who God gave the Ten Commandments was to this man, Moses. He's accredited with that crossing of the Red Sea, the journey out of Egypt, Exodus out of Egypt into the Promised Land. He was that leader there. But we pick up here in the middle of Moses' life. If you know the story of Moses, he was known as the Prince of Egypt. That's where his start was, growing up in the palace in Egypt as the grandson, adopted grandson, so to speak, of the Pharaoh, the son of the princess, the prince of Egypt, Moses. Anyone know how long Moses lived that life as the prince in the palace of God? Anyone know? 40 years, correct. The story we pick up here, Moses is not a prince in Egypt. He's on the backside of the desert in Midian, watching some sheep for his father-in-law. Anyone know how long he spent his time in the backside of a desert? 40 years. 40 years to many people doing nothing, watching a couple sheep in the backside of a desert, tending to a few sheep. You keep your place here in Exodus. We're going to be back here, but I'm going to read a lot of our scripture this morning from Acts. Acts chapter 7, the prophet Stephen is preaching, and he tells this story to the people he's preaching to. Hopefully you don't respond the same way they responded to him this morning, because they took him out and stoned him to death, but hopefully you don't respond that way to me, but he preached to them, telling the story of Moses in Acts chapter 7. He told a lot of different stories, but he gets to this account where he goes over the story of Moses. And this is where we get the time frame where we know it was 20 years or 40 years. The Bible says in verse number 20 of Acts chapter 7, in which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned. And listen to this. This is the first part of it. The first 40 years, Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. And he was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was a full 40 years old, it came to his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. So the first 40 years, that's where he was. Growing up in the palace, getting the best education. The Bible says he was mighty in words and deeds. He was great. Living the life. Thinking about it in the palace. 40 years. But then, if you look down in verse 29, the Bible says, then Moses fled at this saying and went and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat 2 sons. And then when 40 years were expired, there appeared into the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. So now this is his next 40 years. He spent 40 years in the desert, 40 years in the palace, and 40 years in the desert. And then if you look in verse number 42, the Bible says, "And God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, and it was written in the books of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to be slain beasts and sacrificed by the space of 40 years in the wilderness." This was the last part of Moses' life where they spent 40 years leading the children of Israel from Egypt to the promised land. And that's where Moses died as 120 years old. It's kind of interesting how God divides his life up into those 40-year segments. But I want to talk about that middle part of his life that we read there in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Many people would account that as wasted years. So let me ask this question. Who in here can say, "I was saved as a young child, surrendered to the will of God, lived my whole life, and never stepped foot, one step outside of the will of God"? Raise your hand. You bunch of backsliders. I didn't see any hands go up unless I missed one. If it was someone that raised their hand, it probably would have been a young person. I didn't expect it. You know, I wouldn't have been a surprise if a young person would have raised their hand and said, "You know, that was me. I've been saved. I'm still under my parents' roof. I'm trying to serve God with my life." But most of us can say we've had some wasted time. Sometimes we made mistakes. We made the wrong decision. Many people, it was before you got saved. You lived a life not knowing God. You were, as we sing the song, "Once I was blind, but now I see." Well, you can't blame a blind man for walking out in traffic. You can't blame a blind man for walking into a wall, can you? He was blind. And such were some of you, the Bible says. But now you're washed. Now you're clean. And sometimes, even after we've been saved, sometimes we just make foolish decisions, such as the prodigal. We make foolish decisions, and we look back, and we say, "Man, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Man, I'm sorry I made those mistakes. Man, I'm sorry I lived that type of life. I did this, and I did that, and I displeased my Lord. I knew better. Grow up in church, I knew better. I could have done different, but I made some mistakes." I want to talk this morning with the help of the Lord on don't waste the waste. Don't waste the waste. You look at the life of Moses, those middle 4 years, and say, "Those are wasted years." I mean, he grew up in the palace. God placed him there. You think of the miracle that took place for God to put Moses in the palace. If you know the story, I don't have the time to go through it all this morning, but as a baby, Moses should have been thrown into the river and killed, as all the other babies were. All the other baby boys at that time, when Moses was born, now fortunately his brother, who was 3 years older than him, Aaron, was above that, but at the time Moses was born, there was a decree saying if there was a man-child born, he is to be cast into the river. And Moses was born. And his parents said, "We're not doing that." Thank God for godly parents. But they said, "We're not doing that." And so they hid him for 3 months, and when they could not hide him anymore, they gave him to God. Did the best they could. They said, "Well, we said we had to put him in the river, but we'll put him in an ark in the river and give him to God." And by hap, that little baby floated right down to where the princess was, and the princess said, "What is that? That little basket, what is that?" She went down and looked at it, and it was a little baby. And the Bible said he just started crying right then and broke her heart. She said, "Oh, it's one of the Hebrews' babies." And she took that baby to be her own, the princess. It wasn't nothing the mother did. It wasn't nothing that Miriam, as she watched, she just watched. And God worked it out to where he, as a little baby, grew up, and even his mom got to nurse him. She said, "Would you like me to go get one of the Hebrew women to come nurse the baby for you?" She said, "Yes. And I'll even pay her." So the first part of Moses' life, his mom got to raise him, to be a mother to him, because she put it in God's hands. A great miracle. of faith that took place there, and for God to put him in that position, in that palace for 40 years. You think of what he could have done for God. But yet he took some things into his own hands, killed a man, and then ran for his life, and for the next 40 years lived in the desert, watching a few sheep, tending to a few sheep on the backside of the desert. What did he do? He got married, spent time with his family, but what did he do for God? Tending to a few sheep. I know I'm going to embarrass my children for this. Dad joke time. What do you call a person that watches after some chickens? A chicken tender. That's a dad joke, so a chicken tender. So here he is as tending to a sheep. I guess he's a sheep tender, so he's tending to some sheep. What good is he? What is he doing? He's wasting his life. He wasted the position, the education. We read there in Acts where the Bible says he was mighty in words and deeds. Turn back. Again, you save your place in Exodus. We're going to look back and forth here in Exodus chapter 4. When God calls Moses to go back to Egypt and tells him, I need you to go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. In verse number 10 of Exodus chapter number 4, the Bible says, and Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of slow tongue. Is this talking about the same person? Mighty in words and deeds? And he's telling God, after 40 years of tending to a few sheep, I'm slow of speech, slow of tongue. I can't talk good. I stutter. I'm not good at this. So he's taken what God had given him and wasted it in our eyes. So number one, I only got 3 points. Number one, Moses had wasted years. And by the show of no hands this morning, I think all of us can say we've had wasted years, wasted time in our life. Time where if we've only made a different decision, we think God could have used me more. God could have done something with my life. If I wouldn't have done that, if I would have gave my life to God sooner, if I wouldn't have went out into the far country like the prodigal or whatever it may be, you think I could have done more for God. So number one, Moses had wasted years. Number two, God can use wasted years. Moses didn't know at the age of 40 when he agreed to watch the flock of Jethro that 40 years later he would lead millions across that same wilderness. He didn't know that. When he ran and fled from Pharaoh and ended up there in that wilderness, the Bible says the wilderness of Sinai, as we read here, I think it was in verse number 30. 40 years were expired. There appeared unto him the wilderness of Mount Sinai. That was the same wilderness, the same area where he came to, and God gave him those Ten Commandments there. So he spent those 40 years wandering around that wilderness, just taking the sheep back and forth through that wilderness, through that desert, on that backside of that desert. He passed that mountain several times. Several times as he led those sheep, he passed those for 40 years. And one day when he was passing, he looked over there. After 40 years, he looked and said, what is that bush doing? It's not being burned up. It's on fire, which is maybe common in the desert, but it's not being burned up. And he said, I'm going to step aside and see what's going on with this bush. And as he did, God spoke to him and said, Moses, I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you to go and get the children of Israel, and you're going to lead them across this wilderness, take them to the promised land. And we know the story of how he argued with God, and he said, I can't, and came excuse after excuse after excuse. And finally, God says, you take Aaron, your brother. He'll go with you. He'll be your voice. You say you can't speak. And I wonder, then if Aaron was the one that spoke, why didn't God just go to Aaron and say, well, forget you then, Moses. I'll go use Aaron. I could tell Aaron what to say just as easy as I could tell you what to say, and then you tell Aaron. Why didn't God use Aaron? Well, Aaron didn't spend 40 years in the desert. Aaron didn't spend 40 years in the palace of Pharaoh and know all the ways of Pharaoh, know all the ways of the Egyptians. Aaron didn't do that. He knew how Pharaoh lived. He knew how they worshiped those false idols and the gods that they worshiped. He knew all these things about Pharaoh, and then he knew that desert. And God said, Moses, I'm going to use you. You're going to be the leader. You've walked through this wilderness. You've seen the mountains. You know the terrain. You know the weather. You know the heat, the cold. You know all these things. You lived here 40 years. What perfect other person could be as perfect to lead these people across that desert? He knew the weather well. He lived there for 40 years. He knew the fears. He knew the enemies. He knew the people that lived there. He knew all these things. And God says, I'm going to use you to be the leader. Doesn't have to be wasted. So I said, number one, Moses had wasted years. Number two, God can use wasted years. And I'll say number three, this is where we spend most of my time. Waste isn't waste if it's used to help others. You all know the saying, finish it with me. One man's trash is... And we say that, you know, yard selling or whatever. People always use that thing, you know, something that I don't want. It's waste to me. It's useless to me. I'd rather throw it in the trash. Someone else may say, hey, I can benefit from that. And what we can look at our own life and say, man, this is worthless. I've wasted these years. Someone else is looking at your life and saying, but how did you make it through it? Because I'm going through that. What answers could you give me? Can you help me to go through what you've been through? God brought you through it. Can you help me? So when you use it to help others, it's not a waste. Now in the time it is. Now Moses, you can argue or not, should he have done that? Should he have lived those 40 years in the wilderness? Could God have used him if he didn't? Yeah, of course he could have. And maybe in a better way. But the fact that he spent 40 years in that wilderness, he could go through without fear to these people and say, hey, don't worry, I've been here before. The nights might get cold, but you can make it. I've been here before. The days may be hot, but you can make it. I've been here before. Now, this time, we got the help of God. He's going to be that pillar of cloud and that pillar of fire by night. He's going to help us through this. I've been here. I could. Your leader's been here before. You can make it. It's not waste if you give it to God. Let him make a treasure out of your waste. You see, the former drunkard can help free or prevent others from becoming drunkards. Who better to help someone who's struggling with alcohol than someone who's been there and been free from it, who's broken those chains? The former drug addict can help someone else who's struggling with addiction. Now they could look at their life and say, man, that was waste. I shouldn't have done that. I wish I wouldn't have done that. But instead of just saying, I have wasted years, now they can see someone else going through that same wilderness and say, hey, let me help you. Let me help you. I've been here. I know the answer. The answer is always Jesus, but they don't know that. They're going through that wilderness. They're going through that time of fear and struggle and wondering how we're going to make it. So the children of Israel, the whole time, they were murmuring and complaining and how are we going to do this? How are we going to make it? How are we going to eat? How are we going to drink? How are we going to do all this? Moses just went to God. God, hey, I've spent 40 years out here. I haven't had to take care of millions of people. I need your help for that. But you didn't see Moses wondering, well, what are we going to do for water? What are we going to do for food? Moses been there. Moses knew. I printed this off. Many of you are familiar with Steve Currington, but I want to read his testimony. He's the founder of Reformers Unanimous. Steve Currington grew up in a Christian home and graduated from North Love Christian School in 1984. After high school, Steve started a 10-year addiction to alcoholism and cocaine. 10 years. 10 years. Grew up in church, but got out. Turned to alcohol, turned to drugs. After a serious car accident, Steve found complete sobriety through his relationship with Jesus Christ. And I read about this. What happened, while he's in the hospital after this accident, he was high on drugs, and actually a drunk driver hit him, put him in the hospital. I forget how long he was in the hospital, but while he was in there, none of his buddies that he drank with, none of his buddies that he did drugs with came to visit, none of that crowd came to see him, but an old Sunday school teacher came and visited him, brought him a Bible, and said, "Steve, read this. Start in the book of John and read it." And he started reading. And he found sobriety through his relationship with Jesus Christ. After his recovery in 1996, Steve began the RU, a faith-based addiction ministry, which started as a humble Friday night addiction class with 4 regular attendees in Rockfield, Illinois. Quickly exploded to a class of more than 300 people from the community. As word spread, others began inquiring about how to bring this program to their community. Soon, a national organization was launched, and shortly after that, an international arm was born. Today, there are more than 2,000 chapters throughout the world, including dozens of foreign countries. The founder of RU died suddenly in October 30, 2010. His unexpected death cast a vibrant ripple across the RU nation as students, directors, leaders, disciples, and well-wishers. Mr. Currington was a powerful force. Currington, a husband and father of 5 children, was so young to die. He was only 45, but he accomplished more in his 15 years of ministry than many do in a lifetime. Along with the thousands of individuals who have been impacted by RU, we mourn the loss of Steve Currington, but we know his work, his writing, his voice, and his reach continue to live on today as we celebrate over 20 years of God restoring families and changing lives and hearts through the ministry of RU here in Rockford. Steve Currington was a man that had wasted years. Came to God, got saved, and he looked and saw how God helped him through that time, through the Word of God. He started writing those things down as he would read and study, and God started breaking those chains of addiction through the Word of God. He started writing it down and said, "You know what? I can help someone else with that." Those years don't have to be wasted. There's so many people around the nation, as we even read there, around the world today that says, "You know, he helped me. That program that he started helped break my chains." And it was because one man says, "I'm not going to waste the waste." The prodigal, he can warn others about the hog pen. You see someone that you've been there and you've experienced what it is to walk away from God and to leave the blessings of the Father. You can see someone else, a young person that you could tell is just struggling, who's looking out into that far country and thinking, "Oh, what it would be like." And you can warn them. "I've been there. Don't be so foolish." You can throw your hands up in a warning sign and say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, you don't want to go down this path. I've been there. I've been there. It's nothing but ruin and heartache down there." He can help someone else where it don't have to be wasted years. You think about it. When you go somewhere and you see a watch your step sign, you know who put that there? Probably someone who's fell and busted in their nose or their legs several times, and they say, "You know what? Now I know this spot's here, this step down or this place that trips me up so many times. I know it's there now. I've learned my lesson the hard way. But let me put this sign here for someone else. Watch your step. There's something here that's going to trip you up. There's something here you want to watch out for. See, Satan, he's got his darts, he's got his ways that tear people's lives apart. And there's people all throughout this room who says, you know what, I've experienced that. This dart has got me, or this dart has got me. And I've experienced how Satan is mischievous, and Satan is crafty, and he can bring people down because he's gotten me to fall. And thank God, God helped me get back up. A just man falls seven times but riseth up again, but that just man needs to help someone else. Say, so watch your step right here. I've fallen. Put up that wet floor sign or that watch your step sign or whatever it may be, even if you got to put a do not enter. Do not go this way. Wrong way. You do not want to go here. The ex-con might have a better chance of reaching those that are incarcerated. If you used to be a drunkard, don't waste it. God saved you out of it. Don't waste it. You can help someone else. If you used to be an addict, don't waste it. I'm not going to encourage anyone to become a drunkard or an addict so you can reach those. But if you've had those wasted years, if you've had that time when you say, this is a waste, I wish I wouldn't have, don't waste it. Use it for God. Give it to God. Allow him to make it someone else's help. So that stumbling block that was for you can be a stepping stone for someone else. Your life can help someone else if you give it to God instead of looking at it and say, you know what, this is wasted. And you can find and say, God, can you use this? Yeah. Moses would go to God and say, God, look at this time I've wasted, this years in the desert. Can you use it? Yes. In fact, you're the perfect one to lead these people across that desert. They're going to spend 40 years in that desert. He didn't know that, but God did. They're going to spend those 40 years in the desert, same 40 years that you spent. The same steps that you've taken through this wilderness, they're going to take. The same temperatures and weather and environment that you've experienced, these people are going to experience, and they've never been there before. They've spent their lives in the land of Egypt, and you can lead them. If you've come from a broken home, don't waste it. I thought about it as I was preparing this. Out of the four pastors of this church, three of them from broken homes. What do? They start a Christian school and a daycare. We got a youth pastor trying to help others. If you've had a failed marriage, we know what God says about it, but don't waste it. So I can't do nothing about it now. You can help someone else. You can help someone else. If you've been a prodigal, don't waste it. Don't waste the waste. Don't waste the waste. Give it to God. Give it to God and see what God can do. I probably talk more about Moses. There's so many truths about it. Brother Jeremy was talking to me before service about a message I preached a while ago about Moses and his rod. So many truths you can learn from this life of Moses that you could take his wasted years and see how God used that in Moses' life. Can God do the same for you? Yeah. There's people in this room. If we took the time to testify, there's people in this room that could say, that was me. I was that drunkard. I was that drug addict. I was this or I was that, and I wasted my life. I made mistakes that I wish I wouldn't have. I ruined my marriage. I did this and I did that, and look at me now. But you can also say, God, can you use that? God said, I sure can. There's someone else that needs that. Someone else following right behind you, coming up that way that hasn't faced that yet, that you can help. Put a warning sign out. You can help warn them, or when you see them going through that, you can say, hey, let me help you up. Let me help you get through this, because I've been there. See, Aaron couldn't have been as effective as Moses was as a leader. God had a purpose for Aaron. But that makes you wonder, why didn't God just allow Aaron to be the voice? He was the one that spoke. Anything you read in here that says that Moses told this and Moses said that, and you know who was speaking? It was Aaron. They went to Pharaoh and said, let my people go. Who said it? Aaron. Well, the Bible says Moses said it. The Bible tells us he told Moses to make Aaron be his voice because Moses said, I can't do it. He said, well, then use Aaron. But you're going to be the one I'm going to use to do it. Why? Because you've been there. You can help them better than Aaron can. And I'm going to use you to be the leader. And we think of, I mean, when you put up people that were the greatest leaders, you think of David, the king. God compares so many people to David, the king. But in Moses' time, there was no kings. He was just a leader. But he'd be at the top. He'd be at one of the top people that says the greatest leader. I mean, he led millions. We don't even know the amount. I mean, you know, there were 600,000 young men that were at the age of 20 or over. Well, how many women? How many children? We don't know. So that's why we say millions of people probably, that Moses was their leader. He led them through that wilderness for 40 years because he's been there. Don't waste a waste. Give it to God. You might have been looking at your life and say, God, what do I have to offer? What can you do with this life? This old messed up, this waste that I've done, these mistakes that I've made, what can you do with my life? Give it to God. You can't even tell. You won't even know until you give it to God and look back at the end of your life and say, wow. God, you made something out of nothing. He's notorious for that. Make something out of nothing. Let's all stand.